Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
It's the Duval Hot Takes Podcast, starring Sean Daly.
Trent Baalke drinks RC Cola.
Pat Smith.
Stupid takes, stupid takes. I got boxes full of stupid takes.
With Taylor Smith and Devin May.
It's called What the Scuba Diver Says.
The fish on the land ain't happy. They sad because they in the bowl.
Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Duval Hot Takes Podcast, your favorite podcast for the Jacksonville Jaguars, brought to you by Big Cat Country and SB Nation. My name is Taylor Smith. I'm your moderator for the show. I am joined by your hosts, Sean Daly.
Good evening.
Pat Smith.
And good morning.
And Facts and Stats man, Devin Mabe.
Good day.
Today is Thursday, January 13th. The Jaguar season has come to an end in undoubtedly the most spectacular fashion possible. You might think I'm saying that ironically, sarcastically. I am not. The Colts came to Clown Town. There was no way they could have expected this outcome. Lining up against a 2-14 team, a win in your in game, making it to the playoffs. Winning here keeps the Steelers from getting in. They have all the tape in the world on Trevor Lawrence and the Jags, and the end result, 26-11. Jaguars. That's right. The Jaguars come to life. Probably the best played game across the board for the Jags. Well, maybe not entirely across the board. Our hosts will recap for you. But even so, what a day. What a lovely day. Pat called the win last week during his solo show, but in this episode, we welcome Sean back, and what a week to come back, my friend.
Oh my gosh. This is a sad statement I'm about to make, but I'm pretty sure that is one of the best days in the history of being a Jacksonville Jaguar fan. I know it's kind of sad because it's a meaningless victory of week 18 of the NFL season, but that was just a great day. The inaugural Trent Baalke Appreciation Day. It will go down in history as when the Jacksonville Jaguar fans of Duval proudly showed what they thought of Trent Baalke. Okay, and what they were wearing. So many good things happened on this day. I literally can't think of one single day where so many great things happened for the Jaguars. Number one, you get to play spoiler of a division rival, and you get to keep the Indianapolis fart noise Colts out of the playoffs. That's number one. Number two, you just got your third win of the season. All right, so you have multiplied last year's win total by three. Boom, right there. Huge. Number three, the Detroit Lions found a way to beat the Green Bay Packers, even with Aaron Rodgers playing the first half of the game that nobody even thought was going to happen. The Lions still did it, which means the Jaguars are going to be picking number one overall. Boom. Didn't even miss on the draft stock. What are you joking? Nothing bad happened on this day. It was amazing. It's so good to end on this note. The Jaguars look great. I would say probably the best all-around performance of the year, and it's not even close. Trevor Lawrence started like completing so many passes in a row, and the only incompletion was a drop. It seemed like all of his incompletions were drops. He was right on it. Best game I've seen out of Trevor Lawrence. Just the way, it's not how you start, it's how you finish, and we are finishing with hope. We look good. I mean, I want to file a petition to where we have to play the Indianapolis Colts in Jacksonville every single game next year because they can't beat us in Duval. That's six straight years now. That stat shocked me.
Seven straight years.
Oh, seven now. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Seven now. That is right. 7 straight years. That's, thank you. I appreciate that. I felt Devin breathing down my neck, but, you know, I'm glad that you have a little softer touch when it comes to that stuff, Pat. Thank you. But it was just a great day. I can't think. I just wish that the Chargers and the Raiders would have tied and they would have kept the Steelers out. It would have been, oh, that would have been whipped cream on top. But it was still a delicious day. Pat, tell me you were there. Give me the ambiance. Give me the feeling. I mean, give it to me. It was a nice big old payoff, a nice little late Christmas present.
Yeah, yeah. Tequila was flowing. I was basically blocked by the second quarter, and yeah, it was that was the way I wanted to end the season.
Did you even watch any of the game?
I did. My eyeballs were on the field. I was watching the game. And that is the full extent of my Sunday. Yeah, we raged hard, partied harder, and it was great. It was fantastic. A blowout win. It was a game where we controlled from kick to knee for all 4 quarters. It was fantastic. I mean, everything that could go right goes right. You had the highest sack total for the year in either 6 or 7. You beat divisional rival, like you mentioned. You play spoiler. You evade the franchise worst offense ever this year by accumulating over 16 points on offense. So Trevor Lawrence doesn't have to wear that on his shoulders. And you said that first drive, Trevor goes 8 for 8, 80 plus yards down the field methodically and scores. I mean, what better way to start than that? And they just continue to do so. Of course, it wasn't a perfect game. You have drops. You have some miscues on the offensive line, getting fouls and penalties and so on.
Juwan Taylor.
Yeah, for what it's worth, 26-11. To of course, help you forget all the woes and disgust and finger banging from this year. what better way to do it to give you the 26-11, right? And they do this every year. It's the same dog and pony show, just to give you just a little glimmer, a little lick of success, just so you keep the appetite bellowing for next year. And that's just all it is. So, yes. The urban mentality, the +2 mentality worked this year. They got +2 wins, and ultimately, he was the genius behind the entire thing. So, yeah, you call it what you want. 3-13 to end the year. I'm sorry, 3-14 to call it for the year.
Don't sell us short, buddy. Hey.
No. Want all losses count for the greater good. And so we go into the offseason, heads held high. Colts are wondering what the fuck just happened. Carson Wentz played like a jackass. And MVP candidate Jonathan Taylor didn't do diddly shit. So,
improvement.
What better way to end the season? I mean, it was, again, I enjoyed it. The clowns were in full force. And the trivia question, the late God, if I ever meet you, sweetheart, I will buy you every drink at the bar. You deserve it. The did you see this, Sean?
No. What are you about to say?
They do a trivia question at the game. They ask a question. They give you 3 selections, multiple choice, and they already tell you the answer, you know, before the question, so that you don't look like an idiot in front of the whole stadium. And they ask some question of where was this player from or who graduated from this school, and they give them 3 choices. And this woman goes, choice D, Fire Trent Baalke. It was phenomenal.
Oh,
it was phenomenal.
Gosh.
Yeah, poor Ashley Sullivan. She was on the mic. She was trying to keep the thing moving. She was like, oh, fuck, I just screwed this entire thing up.
What would have been hilarious is if you would have seen like her fall through some trap door or something like something.
And
like
we're back. New contestant. We'll try that again.
Exactly. He's like shaking and crying.
Yeah, it was good. It was all good. A great way to end the season. Again, I don't forget
Okay, I know why we were there. I know why people were upset. I know why we were Clown Town. Okay, and still are Clown Town in Duval County. So I have not forgotten. I do expect more out of leadership. I do expect more out of the front office. And as the greater fan base should, going into the off season, and expect some accountability. So we're not out of the woods just yet. There is plenty of progress that still needs to be seen on this team. But for now, we enjoy Victory Monday, Victory Tuesday, and we enjoy the little bit of precious good times that we've
accumulated. We can enjoy the next 8 to 9 months, baby. We're on a winning streak, and that ain't changing in the next 8 months.
No, you can lose. You can lose. You can lose. Depending on who you hire a head coach, you can lose. There is ways to lose in the offseason.
Okay.
Don't think that the road is paved without potholes to the draft now.
Well,
okay,
enjoy
the playoffs.
I'm going to check in with you, and we're going to decide if we're still on a winning streak heading into week one next year.
If history serves me well, probably not.
I think we're winning today. Okay, so,
that's right,
and we're going to keep it that way. It's great. We're historians here in Duval. We wanted to give Ben Roethlisberger one more go. You know what I mean? We just want to see him, if he can crawl his little water pistol arm all the way to another Super Bowl. And if it does, then the Jaguars did it. You know what
you
I mean?
Almost, you got a feel for the kid, right? I mean, who hates that position? Guy put his 2-week notice in, and right before he's packing his boxes, he's getting ready to leave, boss comes in and is like, hey. No. Unpack your shit. Yeah, I got a huge project. Whole company's on the line, and it all
Absolutely.
Relies on you. So get back to work. Get back to work.
And you've never been more needed than right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Good
no.
Day.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right now. Right now. I don't
it's
care.
It's the most important
care.
Thing you've ever
right
done.
Right now. That's it. I don't care if your wife's delivering in 3 hours. You have to start working now. Start working now.
Oh God. That's what we did. You know, we didn't really have anything to play for, other than to give the fans a good time.
Well,
and
you did.
It was just,
you did have something to play for. We kind of discussed this about three quarters of the season in. There is an aspect of tryouts.
Pride,
you know, pride is one. But yeah, but there is, you got a new regime coming in next year, and you're putting film together because ultimately you're going to show why you still deserve to be here. And spoiler alert, not many deserve to still be here. But you are showing what you can do. And I think two people in particular that stand out to me, who I think were screwed out of some serious playtime this year, was Andre Sisco, who played lights out yet again this game, and Walker Little, who played lights out again at left tackle. The only thing you take away from this great game showing is that you didn't get more of it throughout the season. That is probably the only thing that, and unfortunately, who's to say who was making personnel decisions? Probably Urban, most likely. But not having those guys play the majority of the season when the season was utterly in the tank is terrible mismanagement of personnel, and now you're almost sending those guys into next year on flyers, although they've played two particularly very good games to end the year.
Okay, let's play a little game. After Sunday and seeing the Jaguars play the way they did, I'm going to give you two people that you have to choose, one from each side of the ball, that you are so excited to see where they're at next year, like after the offseason workouts and what they're going to, one on each side of the ball, who are you most excited about moving forward for the Jacksonville Jaguars after what we saw on Sunday?
On defense, I'd have to say Damian Wilson. On defense, I think he's transcended very well this year at middle linebacker. I think he does. The big role of a middle linebacker on this team, as most people know, is freeing up Miles Jack from calling plays and allowing Miles Jack to play in space where he plays his best, right? That is where Miles Jack excels. That is where Miles Jack needs to play. And having a guy that can play the middle linebacker role, call plays, and you know, his coverage game has significantly improved since the beginning of the year. Beginning of the year, the guy couldn't cover a fucking shadow. But these last couple games, he's done fairly well. He's done fairly well in coverage. He's always been good at coming up and making a tackle at the line of scrimmage. So, Damian Wilson, I'm excited for. I think he deserves to come back. I think that's a middle linebacker that you don't have to worry about going into the offseason. And you can get fairly cheap to play. So, yes, Damian Wilson on defense. On offense, I guess I'm just going to stick with Walker Little. There's not much more on this offense that I like.
Not Trevor, huh? You're not excited to see where he's going to be at next.
Well, I feel like Trevor's a cop-out. Listen, I will say this about... Okay, you're right. I've talked about Walker Little. Let me say this about Trevor. A lot of people, they're starting to see the waves on social media from national media, from local fans. You're starting to see the waves a little bit. And that's folks who are kind of poking at Trevor thinking, oh, maybe he's not what we thought he was. Maybe he's a lot more rusty than we thought he was going to be. Maybe he wasn't going to transcend in the NFL as quickly.
Put a little
as
chip on his shoulder.
Well, no, but listen, for a rookie quarterback, and I mean this sincerely, this is unbiased, completely sincerely, for a rookie quarterback, I can't imagine a situation, nor can I think of another rookie quarterback that has ever been in a rookie year as mismanaged and unprofessional and unprepared as Trevor Lawrence was in. I mean, I can't think of many folks that go onto a team and have the fucking jackass of a three-ring circus in Urban Meyer, Daryl Bevel, and upper management, okay, that he has to deal with day in and day out. And then you get Urban Meyer, who doesn't even make the whole season, so you have the transition middle year to Daryl Bevel, who's equally inept. And then you have to work with the playmakers that you have on this roster that drop ball. I mean, you have... You're top five easily in the NFL for drop balls or misrun routes from the receiver position. So none of that helps you. And to put more icing on the cake, nobody helped you at all in personnel acquisition this year between your offensive line that you ran back that you knew was terrible last year. Okay, we all knew this offensive line was bad from last year. And then you don't give him a tight end, right? You trot out Tim Tebow for tryouts. You make him share reps with Minshew during the preseason. I mean, to think of everything, the only thing that could have possibly gone worse is if Shad Khan came into the locker room after every practice and game with a paintball gun and told everyone to strip nude, and he just took shots at everyone. Afterwards, took pictures with his Polaroid camera and then released it to the Times New Union for release. That's the only thing that could possibly have gone wrong. Worse than what this year was, okay?
I love that you brought up Tebow. Like, yeah, this guy gets drafted number one overall. He comes to the NFL. Everybody's hyping him up and everything.
Think about that.
And then he's been there for like 2 days, and then all of a sudden he's like, all right, who am I throwing to today? Hey, well, isn't that guy a baseball player? And they're like,
Tebow's taking his suit off after recording a segment with ESPN. He's taking his fucking tie off. He's like, yeah, I'm here at the practice field of the Jaguars, just reporting in to let you know Trevor Lawrence is taking his first snaps, and I'm about to go take mine. I'll be right back. Thank you. And he takes his fucking suit off, and he goes in and he practices. What kind of Mickey Mouse operation does that to a rookie quarterback? You know what I'm saying? So the fact that Trevor Lawrence managed to have the season he had, okay, and to get out of it unscathed, fairly unscathed, and have the professionalism and the attitude, because I tell you what, man, week seven, I would have Eli Manning my way off of this fucking shitboat. Week seven, I would have looked around and said, nope, fuck this. I'm out of here. No chance in hell. I don't care if you don't pay me for the rest of my 3 years. I am going somewhere else. I am not staying here. There's no way.
I'm working at Subway.
I would have taken up fucking construction. You would have found me on the side of the road digging up trenches and shit. Okay, there's no way in hell.
Next to Blake Bortles.
That's it. Drinking Bud Light and working construction. Because there's no way in hell I would have lasted. There's no way I would have lasted on this team. So the fact that this man has a smile on his face at the end of the season and can say, yeah, that was an interesting ride, and willing to come back next year obviously he's going to work harder. He's going to hopefully get surrounded with better personnel, and he's going to adapt and continue to grow as a quarterback in this league. But the fact that he's able to stand up and keep moving in that direction says a lot about him as a character, him as a football player, and him as a leader growing onto this team. It's starting to grow, boys. He's starting to grow roots. He's starting to anchor down. He's starting to become a figure on this offense that is severely needed. Severely needed on this offense. And he's going to have to learn trial by fire, as he had this year, but he's trending in the right direction. And listen... The sky is the limit for Trevor Lawrence. I only wish him the best of luck.
I couldn't have said it.
That's my rant.
It better myself, man. That was very well put. That was very articulate. I completely agree with you. Trevor Lawrence, the sky's the limit. But in order for him to get there, he's going to have a head coach. Okay, this team's got to have a head coach talking to him on the other side of that headset. Now, we have to figure out who that head coach is going to be. It is not going to be Doug Marrone. It's not going to be Jack Del Rio. It's not going to be Tom Coughlin. It's not going to be Mike Mularkey. It's not going to be Gus Bradley. It ain't going to be Urban Meyer. We have to make sure that we get the next guy that doesn't remind us at all of the guys before him. None of those guys were the guy. So we got to get this right this year, Pat. We have to get this right. We have Trevor Lawrence. The head coaching position has never been more important than it is right now. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. And I mean, at the rate this team's going, it could very well be Trent Baalke next year. Sean might just double down and be like, you know what? Fuck all of you. Trent's going to run the show, GM and head coach, Bill O'Brien show.
Trent Baalke is not in charge of the hiring decision right now. You know who is, Pat? Do you know who's in charge? You're in charge.
Fantastic.
I'm putting you at the helm. Okay, everybody listening, Pat just gained control of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm reporting, Devin, look this up. Pat just gained control of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he now has to decide who the next head coach is going to be.
First order of business, fill the pools with Jell-O. Take the water out. Fill the pools with Jell-O.
You would so be the Chris Christie of the Jaguars. You would just be sunbathing in the stadium, just using it as your own personal.
I would be calling plays from the pools.
I don't want to think about it. So no, you're in charge. Here we go. God help us. And you have to decide who the head coach is going to be. Now, as your assistant, I have now done a search. You sent me out. I was in the head coaching searching committee.
Ugh, we're in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, I've returned with some resumes, and you have to decide from these resumes, without me saying the person's name, who you want to be the head coach. I have these doors right here. There was a fake door salesman out front, and I got a bunch of doors here.
Okay.
So, behind door number one.
Are the coaches behind the doors?
Who knows?
Oh, who knows? Okay.
Maybe they are.
All right.
Yeah. He has a 62-50 record as an NFL head coach. He has a playoff record of 2-4. He has one Super Bowl appearance, and he's a very accomplished offensive coordinator. I will repeat, 62-50 record as an NFL head coach, playoff record 2-4, one Super Bowl appearance, and he's an accomplished offensive coordinator. That's door number one. All right? You think about that.
Okay.
Door number two. 24-25 record as an NFL head coach. He's won a couple Super Bowls as an assistant coach as well. I'll repeat, 24-25 record as an NFL head coach. Won a couple Super Bowls as an assistant coach. Door number three. Two Super Bowl rings. Assistant coach to a top 10 offense for 3 out of the last 5 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I repeat, 2 Super Bowl rings, assistant coach to a top end 10 offense for 3 out of the last 5 seasons. All right. Door number four. There's 5 doors. Door number four.
Jesus.
44-19-1 record as an NFL head coach. Playoff record of 5-3 with 1 Super Bowl appearance. 44-19-1 record as a head coach. 5-3 in the playoffs with 1 Super Bowl appearance. And the last one, 42-37-1 record as an NFL head coach. Super Bowl winning head coach, and 4-2 record in the playoffs. So, out of these five doors, and if you want me to repeat any of the doors.
Yeah, so door number two can go fuck off.
Door number two, and that was the 24-25 record as an NFL head coach. Okay, mm-hmm. All right, he's gone.
I don't get his name after he's telling him to fuck off.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Brian Flores, you can now exit out of the side door, sir. Brian Flores, you have a nice day. Thank you for your time.
Shit. 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 Okay, I'm already losing. I've already lost. Good. I thought for some reason number two was going to be the OC for, what's his fucking name? The guy that keeps shoving down our throats. For the Patriots.
Oh, Josh McDaniels?
Josh McDaniels. There you go. I thought that was Josh McDaniels.
That's who you picked last time we did this.
Huh?
Last time we did this, you went with Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, that's
you
right. That's right. Yeah, I thought that was him, and I was trying to get him out. I just ended up shooting myself in the foot.
No, Brian Flores is gone.
Number four. I have a question for number four.
Okay, let's hear it.
Any personal issues with number four? Any problems in the past?
Nope.
Whether it be team related, off the field?
Not that I can think of, no.
Nothing.
Mm-mm.
Number five, how many teams has he been on?
Number five, how many teams has he been on as a head coach?
Yeah.
One.
One. And he's 42-7-1?
42-37-1.
Oh, 37-1. Okay. Okay. Oh. All right. I'm over here thinking 42-7-1. I'm like, hey.
That guy plays Madden.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's me, actually.
I don't want number three simply because I know who number three is.
Ah, that's such BS, man.
Yeah.
That is such BS. I tried to word it.
Yeah, I know you did, and you worked your little tongue off. Okay, you tried to snake it in there. No.
Oh
no.
My boy! All right, I have to say goodbye.
And you know why?
I have to say goodbye.
And you know why? I've done it before. I'll quickly say it again. It's very home takey. Okay, no one else is interviewing him for good reason. Okay, and let's not pretend his last venture in Jacksonville ended on a very high note. Okay, hey, he did everything,
hey, man.
But get stoned.
You just watched
the
documentary of him playing at Marshall.
Yeah,
watched that documentary. Oh, he finished the game on a broken leg.
Yeah, I know, and he gets carried down the field and he wins the game. I know,
it's such
a beautiful story. Okay, break his leg again. Make sure he doesn't end up in Jacksonville.
Break his leg again. Twice. All right. I have to say goodbye. Byron Leftwich, thank you for your service. I greatly appreciate you. Let's link up to after this is over. We'll go party. That's my boy.
I'm not a big fan of number one either.
Ooh, number one. All right. So I would like to say goodbye.
Give me his record again.
62-50.
Yeah. No Super Bowl win.
One Super Bowl appearance. I think he did win a Super Bowl as a coordinator.
All right, I'll keep him. Let's get rid of five.
Oh, man. He's got to fire up the Harley. All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Make sure. Let's warm that Harley up, Mr. Doug Peterson. Okay, we're just going to make sure that you're good to go, buddy. Yeah. All right, so you have a good one.
Yep, that's a good call.
If you hear
that's
Doug leaving. Yep. All right, he's out of here.
Yep. All right. So, see you, Doug. All right. Then I'm going to go with, and number four, no Super Bowl appearance.
No, they both have Super Bowl appearances, the two that are left. Okay.
And four is 44-19 as a head coach?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number four it is.
Number four. So, you're saying goodbye to number one.
Yep.
All right. We're going to let you use the ramp over here, sir. The stairs are a little steep. Jim Caldwell, you have a good day. All right, Mr. Jim Caldwell. Thank you.
That's tough.
Okay. So, you have now chosen the next head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Pat, and you are dipping back into a well that we just dipped out of. Patrick Smith, you are bringing one Jim Harbaugh to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Khakis and all, everybody. Jimmy Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh's coming, baby. We got him. We got him, Pat. How do you feel about the hire?
That Brian Flores was a trap. You laced that one up. You laced it up real good.
We got Jim Harbaugh. Are you excited, Pat?
No, he has a relationship
with Trent Baalke.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's... You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So I know that if Jim Harbaugh gets the job, Trent's going to be at the bottom of the St. John's River. So, I mean, I guess I get rid of one, but I deal with the other. No, I'm not excited about that at all. I don't like the I'm done with the college play. I'm done with the college play. Done with the college play. I've seen he's entertaining a return. I do hear it. I also hear that he's also linked to Miami, and there's questions about that. But I only wish the best for him. I have no ill resentment for him. I think he took a very confusing.
You obviously
49ers
respect
team.
The resume. You respect the resume.
I do. And that's it. Was again. I don't have any resentment towards him. I think that had he still been in the league and continued trending that way. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe that's a good. That's a solid go-to. I think the 49ers stay was kind of weird. It was a little confusing.
It was 44-19-1,
and he did a lot with very little, and he almost won a Super Bowl. I mean, it was close. So I remember that.
But it came down to a pass interference call.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. Yeah, it was close. So I do respect the resume. I respect him as coach. I do. I just I just need someone who's in the NFL though. I just need. That I don't need any more experiments.
So now let's put a face to the name. Now give me another candidate or go back on your Brian Flores firing.
I absolutely go back on it. I think
you like the way 24-25. It's a good looking 24-25.
It is for what it's considered. You know, I mean, for what's considered. Okay, you got to keep in mind he comes off the Bill Belichick tree. So that's, you know, for what it's worth.
Yeah.
And
Josh McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels. Some can do it, some can't, you know? Some can do it, some can't. For what it's worth, okay, that Miami team sucks. That Miami team is bad. It is a bad, bad team.
We beat them.
We beat them. Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of, speaking of front office disarray, there's a lot of disarray in that organization. With Tua, they're not sure on him. They want Deshaun. There was at one point, now I'm hearing that, you know, Tua and Flores got into a fight or heated debate or something recently. But there was a point where Brian Flores was simply going to get fired because he wanted to run with Tua. You know, upper management didn't want Tua, and Brian Flores wanted to keep going with him, and they, you know, were going to get rid of him for that. So, again, I don't know how true that is, but I think that very few people could have won this year with that team as many times as they did, and I think it's a lot to say about Brian Flores, and I think he's great. I think he would be a great fit. I don't think the firing was deserved unless something comes out later in reports of, you know, something detrimental that we are not aware of at this point. But for now, I think that's a leading candidate that has worked with a young quarterback. Again, albeit Tua is what I thought Tua was going to be. He wasn't going to win you games. He wasn't going to lose you games. But you couldn't rely on him because that's just the Alabama quarterback mentality. You know, he is equipped with just what he's got. And I don't think he's a game breaker. And he's not. So he's proved it. But again, talent. You need to put talent around the kid. You know, he had Waddle this year, but you need to give him more. You know, you got to give him, you know,
sufficient talent around. You got to give him LaVisca Chenault. You got to give him Laquan Treadwell.
Oh, yeah. Please give him LaVisca Chenault. Give him LaHog Suckwell. Give him LaHog Suckwell. Please, tomorrow.
All right. So, well, I have really good news for you. So, when Byron Leftwich ultimately gets the job, all right, so I know you want Brian,
mm-hmm.
but Byron is not a far cry from the name Brian, so you could just pretend.
So
that
you're saying I can get adjusted pretty quickly.
Yeah, you can So it's just you can even start by calling him Brian Leftwich. You know what I mean? Because and then it's an easy
and just slowly roll.
And then
the,
Byron, Brian Byron. You see, that's
Byron
exactly.
Got it.
And that's who's going to take us to the Super Bowl. So just, you know,
if I may, I know you're sold on Byron Leftwich. Could you give me a quick 30 seconds of why Byron Leftwich? Could you let's pretend I sit unbiased in front of you, never seen, never heard of, fresh Jaguar fan of Byron Leftwich. Sell me Byron Leftwich in 30 seconds.
A quick 30 seconds is all I need. You ask any of the beautiful ladies in town. All right, so I'm going to tell you right now. Byron Leftwich surrounded himself with football geniuses like Mike Tomlin, like Bruce Arians, like Tom Brady. All right, he won a Super Bowl as a player behind a Hall of Fame quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger. He won a Super Bowl as an offensive coordinator to the best quarterback of all time, who has a big part of what makes an NFL offense is good, smart quarterback play, right? And a guy has seen nothing but that for his whole career. Okay. Other than a short stint with Josh Rosen, the team obliterator that no one could save. No one could save Josh Rosen. Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady have a baby. That baby grows up and he raises Josh Rosen to be a quarterback, and Josh Rosen would eat his own hat. Okay, so nobody could have helped him. But everywhere else, he's been an absolute firecracker of an offensive mind, drawing up plays, getting chunk plays, yards, big plays down the field. And even when Tom Brady, who had no arm left, guess what? Now he's the best deep passer. Tom Brady's getting better. He looks better today than he did when he was in the prime of his career in New England. And maybe, just maybe, a little bit of that is the vertical scheme that Byron Leftwich is preaching in his ear. Just maybe a little bit of it.
Okay.
All right? And let's take that little bit. Let's let it grow. Let's give it oxygen. And let's let it breathe as a head coach in Jacksonville. Because literally we have nothing to fucking lose.
Well, again, you know, that's a silly statement because you do have Trevor Lawrence to lose. And it's very plausible.
It's very
plausible in 3 years.
Byron Leftwich could be perfect.
But with that said, are you concerned at all with him coming onto a team where Trevor Lawrence has just gotten out of this shitbag of a season, going into his second year with probably very little of true NFL coaching experience, very little of the adaptation to the NFL? Because remember, this is basically a wash year for poor Trevor. And with the personnel that's currently around him, and you're very limited on what you can put around him going into next year, do you have any concern to that as Byron Leftwich will step into probably the most difficult role you can have as a head coach, rebuilding a franchise and adjusting a new scheme? I mean, there's no training wheels when he's by himself. You know, he can't just pick up the phone and say, Bruce, can you come up here and handle practice for me real quick? Because I'm not sure what I'm doing. They won't catch the ball, Bruce. What, you don't have any concern for that?
Nope.
Adversity, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. Byron Leftwich hasn't seen a lot of adversity.
He inherited a Jameis Winston that was being lauded as a bust of a quarterback that can't play in the league.
Sure.
And he got the most out of him.
Sure.
He got the best season out of him, got over 5,000 yards, threw for a bazillion touchdowns.
And a bazillion picks.
Yeah, but that's just what Jameis does. But who's to say that that's not the best version of Jameis Winston? That's probably the best.
I could argue that he's not currently putting up those numbers right now.
Well, he got hurt. Well, that's only because he got hurt. He was doing well in New Orleans. But, I mean, you know, Byron Leftwich made it happen in Tampa Bay. And he took Tom Brady. And Tom Brady, you just believe that it's all him, or maybe it's a help or a good concoction of players and whatnot. He's getting the most out of Tom Brady. Statistically,
well, he definitely has a lot of talent on the support level.
Yeah,
a lot of talent. Some would
and
argue
maybe he'll bring some of that with him
of the support that team.
Maybe he'll bring some of that with him. You know,
yeah, well,
you know, that's a conversation for another day. You know, maybe it's a package deal.
All right, well, I will say you have all off season to sell me. You haven't sold me yet, but I'll listen to you.
It is officially 100% silly season.
Yes, it is.
We were, you know, we were all the way. We were 95% through the door on the season, just having a good time. Pat, he had to sober up after the end of the first quarter because the Jaguars were playing well. He tried to sober, but he was gone to the wind. All right, and so are we. Now we're refilling on hope, baby. We're refilling the tank on hope, and we ended on the perfect note. We will be on a win streak going into next year. And the Jaguars have nothing but goodness. We haven't messed up the head coaching hire yet. This is like a great time to be alive for a Jacksonville Jaguar fan. Enjoy these days when the Jaguars don't have a head coach and they just won.
You're absolutely right, Sean. Let's enjoy it. Let us Jaguar fans bask in the glory of ending a season on such a high note. A season that was so riddled with poor performance, injury issues, controversy, and the Jags still managed to do what they do best. Give it everything they've got in garbage time, put on one hell of a show, and remind us what it means to be a Jaguar. Let this episode serve as an appetizer for you listeners, a taste of what's to come in the offseason. We've got all the time in the world to go over tape, make our case for head coach, but for now, as Sean said, let's enjoy ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Duval Hot Takes Podcast. I'm Taylor Smith, moderator.
Sean Daly, host.
Pat Smith, co-host.
Devin May, facts and stats.
We'll see you all again soon. We'll probably take some time to relax a bit, kick our feet up, but we'll be back. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at Duval Hot Takes. This was a big year for us, guys. We got to engage with you all more than ever before. Probably one of the best parts about running the show is getting to chirp with you all. So hit us up there, share your takes with us, and we'll meet again very soon. Peace.